Alleluia, Christ is risen.
He is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Amen. You may be seated. Throughout our Lenten season, we used our midweek services and Maundy, Thursday, and even last Good Friday to cover the seven petitions of the Lord's Prayer. We come today to the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. The words of that conclusion, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." Those words don't come from Matthew or from Luke's account of the Lord's Prayer. Those words instead are added to the Lord's Prayer, but they are not man's words, but they are God's word. They confess what God's word teaches in all sorts of places, especially in the book of Daniel. Those words fit into our gospel lesson this joyous Easter morning. The women went to the tomb to anoint Jesus' body. They saw him die. They saw the place where his body was laid. They went and expected to find a corpse. They didn't go with faith in the words of Christ about the temple of his body being destroyed and raised on the third day. They couldn't see beyond death, the death they had saw on Good Friday. Grief consumed them. Someone near and dear to them had died. A teacher. Their teacher, a good man. Whoever people said he was, they did not expect to find him alive. Nature and experience taught them this lesson. Nature and experience teaches you this lesson also. These women hardly exhibited the faith that we confess when we pray that conclusion. The kingdom, they confessed in their grief, was the kingdom of death, because in the first Adam, all die. Death ruled. Death had the power. The grave was victorious. Their master supposedly lay in the grave. The glory belonged to all sorts of others other than God. It belonged to the Roman and the Jewish authorities who had plotted and enacted this disastrous plan resulting in Christ's death. The glory belonged to sin, to death, and to the power of the devil. Another man overtaken. The kingdom, power, and glory certainly didn't belong to Christ, not as they went along the way to anoint his dead body. You know these women because these women are just like you. Does your life reflect that you have other kingdoms, powers, or glories not belonging to Christ? Perhaps it's the kingdoms of this fallen world, the power of the grave, the sting of death. Perhaps living in sin, confessing the belief that those things of evil are your real kingdom and real power and real glory in your life. What are you devoted to? What occupies your time? What fills your thoughts? What takes your effort? What do you do at the close of day? What is the last thing on your mind? What is the first thing on your mind at the beginning of a new day? Where do you put your money? Maybe you just don't think that hard about it. And maybe you just live life for yourself, building up for yourself a kingdom of wealth and honor and pride, amassing power and glory for yourself, for your household, for your inheritance. Perhaps you can't see God behind the struggles in your life. Perhaps you think that those struggles are too big, bigger, in fact, than Christ Jesus. That surely these sicknesses, painful problems, suffering, mental anguishes, offenses from others all around you are more powerful than Christ. They appear to be winning, so they must be, right? Perhaps you spend your efforts embracing the kingdoms of this world and their glory at the expense of the world to come, wondering about the political powers and glory of men as nations come and go into history. Whose kingdom, whose power, and whose glory would people say you embrace by looking at your actions, your conduct in this life, your words, your deeds, your conversations? What would people say? The women went to the tomb under the delusion that death was the powerful king who had claimed victory and glory. They are not alone. You do this in your life too, in your beliefs, in your thoughts, in your words. It's sinful. It's evil. It is not good for you or for anyone else around you. At the end of the gospel, however, something has changed. At the end of the gospel lesson, the women leave the tomb quickly. Not so much fled as they ran on their way. And the text says why? For trembling and astonishment had seized them. These words, they need to be clarified for what Mark is teaching. He's not speaking that these women ran off from the tomb because they came believing in the power and dominion of death. They were now leaving just scared and so forth. No, that's not true. The scriptures teach that when these words, trembling and astonishment, are used in for the faithful, that is, disciples of Jesus, it means that they were having true reverence and fear and awe of God and His mighty works. Their trembling and their astonishment happens to believers when they are given divine truth and promises as the angel spoke to them. The word had come to them. It taught them that the kingdom, the power, and the glory didn't belong to death, but to the Father and to the Son. They were awestruck by the divine majesty of the triune God and what He has done to save them. Out of this holy fear of God, they went to the disciples quickly to relay the message of this angel. They did not tell others out of the same reverential fear of God. The angel had given them orders, and they followed them. The word of the resurrection made all the difference from them. It made all the difference in how they conducted themselves, where the kingdom was, where the power was, where the glory was. Seeing the angel had made them afraid, alarmed, because angels bring fear. God, even when He visits His people through such a heavenly and holy messenger, reminds us of our creaturely and sinful existence. But the angel does what the angels always do in pronouncing good news. Just like to Mary, to Joseph, to the shepherds, the angel says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed." And then he tells them why. "You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here." Jesus of Nazareth, he says. That is the Son of Mary, conceived by the Holy Spirit in the household of Joseph, the carpenter from Nazareth. This summarizes all of Christ's earthly life. This is what it means to say Jesus of Nazareth, that the one Christ who is both God and man, born in Bethlehem, raised in Nazareth, who lived his life in perfection to the praise and honor and glory of God and for the good of everyone around him. The angel says, who was crucified. The fact of Christ's death is confessed by the angel. This Jesus of Nazareth was crucified. He was arrested, tried falsely, tortured, and finally executed by being nailed to the wood of the cross in a cruel and evil fashion worthy of the Roman Empire. He had the entire cup of God's wrath poured out upon him by the Father. That hell's torments came up to overwhelm him as he hung on the cross. And that he died. But the angel uses the perfect tense. Was crucified. That this crucifixion happened once in the past. Once and for all, as Hebrews puts it. But that this crucifixion has ongoing effect. That his crucifixion is still true. Its work and its reward is still true and it is still enduring, even though it was so many years ago. That his blood shed way back when is still the cause of the covering of countless sins even today. The angel goes on, he says, he is risen. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? Where is the rule and might of death? Where is the glory that so many want to pay to death and the grave? It's gone. It's vanquished. It has been destroyed by the risen Jesus Christ. Who is king now that our greatest foe has been shown defeated? Christ is. Who has the power now that death has shown to have no grip over Jesus? Christ has the power. Who receives the glory now that the devil, the earthly powers, and the sinful flesh of men could not manage to destroy Christ? Christ receives the glory, and the Father and the Holy Spirit with him. Death's reign has ended. Death's sting removed. Death's glory defeated. He is risen. He is not here. These words of the angel enlivened faith once again in these women. Words which again this morning are meant to enliven your faith in Christ and bring joy, utter joy, to your hearts. To confess the kingdom, the power, and the glory belonging to our Father is to confess that these things belong to Christ. For all that the Father has, he has given to the Son. And the Father and the Son have sent the Holy Spirit to you to work through the Word, the same Word that brought this trembling and astonishment to the women in the tomb that Easter morning. The faithful fear and reverence for God, awe of what he has done. Because God has taken the very thing that we figured was too powerful for anyone, and he's put it in his grip. Death has a master now, and his name is Jesus. Because death could not master Jesus. The cause of death, sin, has been overcome by his perfect life and crucifixion. What you could not do while under the corruption of sin, he has done to end sin's reign in your life. His resurrection is for your justification. Instead of living in sins, you have been declared righteous, forgiven, holy even by the Son of God, Jesus of Nazareth. You have a new life that is not your own, because you have been purchased by His blood. You have been given the Holy Spirit to be a temple for God, that in your body you offer up true worship by faith, true living sacrifices for those around you, for the praise of Christ who does these things through you. He did not go through these horrors of His life and death for His own sake, but for your sake. All of it, the becoming of flesh, the suffering and dying in the flesh, and the rising in the flesh for you, for all of you, and yes, for each one of you. Whatever your problems are, whatever things you ascribe to have, the kingdom, the power, and the glory, they cannot compare to Christ's kingdom, power, and glory. For His kingdom is one of grace. His power is exercised in the forgiveness of sins, and His glory is found in the salvation of sinners who will praise His holy name without end. Let this give you life today and every day. Do you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified? He has risen, and He is here, where He has promised to be found, in His word and His supper. And because He is here, you have what He promises when you believe His word. Your sins, they are forgiven, and this is sure as He is risen. Your death is nothing now. You shall not see death, but pass from life to life. Your resurrection, as sure to happen as Christ's resurrection has happened. For you have been baptized into His death and resurrection. Do not be afraid. Christ is risen from the dead.